If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
Testing, testing, hot out, brown cow, 1, 2, 3, 4, testing, testing. Hey, boss, you know, Ralph, I'm getting a little nervous out here. I don't know how you can keep so calm back there.
Get ready. 10 seconds. 5 seconds. Go.
Hey, I can't find nothing on the radio. Yo, turn to that station.
Your one definition of a friend is someone who's there when you need him. Well, I needed him and he's here. Ladies and gentlemen, my friend Elton
Jim.
Good morning, Elton Jim.
Elton Jim.
The one, the only, Elton Jim Toronto.
And welcome to the 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. shift. I am Elton Jim Toronto, filling in this morning for Nick DiGiulio. I'm going to be here till 5. Hope you will as well. Hey, what are you doing? It's 10 after 2. Where are you at? What pressing news or pressing business do you have at 2 a.m.? Except to sit next to your radio and have a little fun for the next 3 hours. We make you laugh and maybe even make you think. So who knows? All in the course of the next 3 hours. So I'm very happy to be here. Third morning in a row on this shift. And so just now when my body clock is beginning to get used to this crazy time where you get done and then I take a quick nap and then you're up and then you take another nap before you get here. It's really a shift in lifestyle, no doubt about that. So right now, it's like when you go maybe overseas and a 7 hour, 8 hour difference. I don't know. Is there such thing called radio lag? I have radio lag. I don't know. Dan, is there something called radio lag?
Yeah, I think there's some sort of equivalent.
I don't know if that's the term. That's Dan Long producing today. And, I just getting used to this. So, whatever it is. Friday, I'm very excited. I will be on from 3 to 6 in the afternoon. And anybody who's listened to me here at WGN over the last several years knows that the afternoon drive was home for 5 years or so here at WGN. So it'll be nice to be back in that slot. And since when? May of 2014 in terms of actually on the terrestrial side of WGN. So that will be very fun. And hopefully be able to reconnect with some of the listeners and some of the callers that we used to have back then. So that'll be fun. And I just found out today, being a major utility man, I feel like, one of the Cubs, like maybe, Coughlin, who would come in and pitch hit all the time or play the outfield. I just got a call today, and I guess Uncle Dean Richards, he must be having plans to have some crazy kind of New Year's Eve because apparently Dean wants New Year's Day off. You know, he's got a show on Sunday mornings from 9 to 1, and apparently 9 o'clock in the morning is going to be a little too tough for Dean. But I'm always happy when Dean wants to take a vacation or take a day off if he needs to when he's going one of his gallivanting junkets or just take some time from his busy schedule. He's always kind enough to have me fill in, and so I love filling in for Dean on Sunday. So I will be on Sunday as well. So I've been on 3 times this week. I'll be on in the afternoon on Friday, and then I will be on Sunday morning on New Year's Day from 9 to 1. No better way to kick in your new year than listening to a little Elton Jim. So that's kind of the schedule there. As I mentioned to Patty when we were just doing a little crosstalk here before I took over, one of the things I want to do this morning during the show, everybody talks about the year in review, and that's all you're hearing about, and they're talking about, obviously, the election and, things happening in Aleppo and, all the celebrity deaths and, the Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie divorce and all the other stories that came across the news wires here in 2016. I always like to try to do something a little different, something that you don't always get everywhere else. And so I figured, Well, everybody else is talking about the year in review in terms of the larger year in review. What I want to do is go through my day planner, my hard copy day planner. It's right here. There's the pages. And, you know, we sometimes forget what we have done over the last 12 months. And, you know, right now I'm thinking it's been a pretty good year. Was good health-wise. Went on some really great vacations. Saw some great concerts and did some fun things. It seems like it was a good year. But really, was it? I don't know. So I'm going to go month by month because I am old school. I've got my paper, you know, day planner. I know everybody has all the technology with your smartphones and your... Do they still even make Palm Pilots? I don't even know if they make those anymore. I'm showing my age. But everybody's got, you know, all their technology stuff with their tablets, and they've got their little alarms when they have an appointment, and they've got their schedules on their calendars. That's all well and good. But like I said, in so many ways, I am old school. And so I enjoy a good day planner. In fact, in mid-November, I went to Target to buy my new one and already transferred all of the dates that and things that I know of, like obviously birthdays and anniversaries and special occasions throughout the year. I've already noted all those in my January one, and I already have a couple of appointments for a dentist and a haircut and things like that. So I already had my 2017 day planner is already up to what I can plan on up to this point, already filled out with special dates, birthdays, anniversaries, things like that. Other appointments, and obviously now it's my job, and I always view it this way. It's all of our jobs. Every year, we get a clean slate in our book of life. We've got 2017. That page is empty, and it's up to us to fill it up with cool stuff and hopefully things that become lasting, positive memories. So That's what our responsibility is to fill that page up with some cool stuff. And so sort of bringing that to life is this day planner. I have not looked at it. I obviously have it open to December. I put a little paper clip on every month so I can turn right to it as opposed to have to page through. Excuse me. But I have not looked at it on purpose ever since when I came up with this idea a couple weeks ago. So I have not looked at it from January through November. I do not really remember. I sort of recall some of the things I did in January, but day to day, no. So I thought we could have some fun going through. Forget about the year in review. This is Elton Jim's year in review. Where else are you going to get that? Nowhere else. So also going to talk a little bit about George Michael. I know that... That Patty was doing a lot of George Michael talk, so I'll just touch on that because I did have a few personal memories of seeing George Michael in concert and stuff like that. But also want to talk a little bit about my Christmas gifts and some of the things that I accumulated over the Christmas holiday in my never-ending quest of getting Christmas decorations. I was just listing some of the things that I bought this year to add to my ever-growing collection, and I didn't realize that I bought this much stuff. My gosh, I really got to stop. I've got over 20 bins of stuff as it is. I really should stop, but I can't. I love it so much. We'll also talk about my Christmas card dilemma, and maybe you guys can help me out on that. So I've got a lot of stuff planned here. We'll be here till 5. Phone number, as it always is, you are always welcome to join in the conversation, whether it's to talk about something that I'm talking about or if you've got some kind of a quirky little topic you want to bring up. You never know. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. That's the same number for the text if you just want to text a little message. But as I said, we're here till 5, and I'm planning on having a good time. So if you stay tuned, I think you will too. We will take a quick break, and we'll be right back. No switching. Elton Jim Toronto here. At WGN 720, it's inching up here on 2:30. As I said, and the other side of the news, so we're going to go into my day planner. Everybody's talking about the year in review. I'm going to do my year in review, going through my hard copy day planner. We'll start at January and find out if it was a fun year, a good year, an average year, or what kind of year was it. And I have not looked at the last 11 months. It's been on December, obviously, now for the last 28 days. But I have not looked back for the simple fact that I want to sort of be surprised and kind of jog my memory. Like, and what did I do on that day? So we'll have a little fun with that, hopefully. And then I said, the phone number is always open to you at 312-981-7200. So if you've been listening to me over the last several days here, as I have been filling in since Monday morning, I've been talking about my new favorite air freshener scent. Now, you may say, what the heck are you talking about? Well, when I think back at 2016 right now, I'm going to be thinking about two words, and those two words are Cashmere Woods. And no, that is not Tiger Woods' cousin. That is the name of my new favorite Glade spray air scent. I really think that a house should always smell good. And I stock up on air fresheners. I buy them 10 or 15 at a time. They're not all that expensive, especially the Glade ones. And they say right on the label, up to 7 hours of freshness. So that's not too bad. And I am not getting any kind of promotional fee for promoting Glade, believe me. I just like to pass this on because usually the scent in our house was called Clean Linen by Glade. So I went to my favorite Menards and I went to get my next supply of Glade Clean Linen, and it was out. So clearly, we're not the only ones who like the Clean Linen scent. So now I'm like, we're kind of running out at home. I really want to buy these now just to be safe because I always like to have a good supply. It's always important, I think, to have your house have a nice smell, especially when you're going to have, company over. You want to spray some right around the front door, the vestibule of your home, wherever some guest will walk in so they get that first little burst and go, oh, nice smell. And for yourself only. I mean, a house can get stale, especially after a couple of days and, in the winter here, a lot of hibernation going on. Especially when the weather gets bad, you don't get outside a lot. The house can get a little stale, so you just freshen things up. So I'm going through the various flavors there, the various scents, because my Clean Linen is out, and I don't know what to buy. And I grabbed this one, which was apple cinnamon, which I love. I love apple cinnamon in terms of a combination. As I've said many times, apple cinnamon, probably the greatest combination since, I don't know, Abbott and Costello. But this scent was a little too strong. It felt like I was living inside of an apple pie. I love the taste, but wow, that was a little too strong for me. So I find this Cashmere Woods. I have no idea what it smells like or what it is, but I give it a spritz. I felt like I was in the in the perfume section at Macy's. You ever walk into Macy's? My gosh, your eyes tear in that perfume section. And, oh, my God, this Cashmere Wood smell was unbelievable. Just so you know, you can go online, too. Just look it up. It's Cashmere Woods by Glade. But I'll tell you, it's got a really soft vanilla smell, a little citrus, and a little amber, apparently. But you really smell the vanilla. So this is my new favorite scent. And what I'm getting a kick out of, I've been talking about this the last couple of days. I've been going on my Facebook page, and people are going out and buying Cashmere Woods. They're posting pictures of their new cans of Cashmere Woods. And the good news is they've got Cashmere Wood candles, and those smell just as good. So if you want a new scent for 2017, you want to change things up in your home, you don't need paint. You don't need new hardwood floors. You don't need a new couch. You know the best way to change your house in 2017? A little spritz of this. Oh, Cashmere Woods by Glade. Take my word for it. I was like you, a little skeptical. At first, I just bought one can because I wanted to test it out with my wife, too. I mean, she's got a right to vote on the scent. And it was so awesome because I sprayed it downstairs at first and I thought she'd walk down the stairs and it would hit her and she'd go, What's that smell? She was on the second floor of the house, and she smelled it from down from upstairs and called down, oh, my gosh, what's that smell? And I'm like, what it is our new smell. It's Cashmere Woods, and she loves it because I spray like a madman. I spray every room, and she's always like, oh, enough with the spray. And now she encourages me to use the air freshener. So thank you, Glade Cashmere Woods. Only on an Elton Jim show will you hear someone get so excited about air freshener. Is Vic Vaughn there?
Here we are.
Hey, Vic, do you use air freshener in your house?
You know, we have a, no, but I'll say this. We have a news anchor up here who makes scented candles, and I'm a big fan of those.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's great. Veronica Carter.
Oh, right, yeah, right. I remember, she still makes those.
You can come up anytime. There's a box up here. Four
oh, really?
Bucks. $4.
Oh, you just, that's right. You put the money in the kitty and you just take one.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. I'll have to tell her at least the ingredients for Cashmere Woods. Maybe I can get a homemade Cashmere Woods.
You know, if I would have known your love of Glade, my partner used to work for years for SC Johnson. She could have probably hooked you up.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but she's now working in Chicago.
Oh. You mean I had a Cashmere Woods guy?
You did.
Oh, and I didn't even know it. Although before 3 weeks ago, I didn't even know that Cashmere Wood existed. Yeah. Oh, but I had a guy to get me. Cashmere Woods guy.
Our apartment is still packed with SC Johnson.
Oh, products. Yeah? Like, what do you have
well,
in there?
Well, they have a store and for employees, and it's like slashed half price. So,
nice. I mean,
everything from Ziploc bags to candles. You
hey,
know?
You know what? You laugh about that, but that stuff. Is you got to have your Ziploc. You got to have your air freshener. Like I said, I love spraying this stuff. Those things, they sound mundane, but when you go to reach for them, it's nice when they're there.
Yeah, you're right. It is.
Wow, very cool.
It was a very good year. It was a very good year.
We'll see if it was a very good year. I'm Elton Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio. And as I said before the news, everybody now at this time of the year on the media is, whether it's on TV or the radio, is doing their year in review segment and talking about the big stories of the year. We had the Olympics. Obviously, we had a little election that might be changing the face of our country. We also had pop culture news. Many celebrities, high-profile, iconic celebrities, passed away this year. Probably, it seems, I don't know. I don't know if we can do a tally on this, because how do you judge there's nothing tangible about how big a celebrity is. It really depends on who you are and how much you like them. But certainly, in terms of iconic people, like your Princes, like your David Bowies, as well as people like John Glenn and Arnold Palmer and Muhammad Ali and Elie Wiesel, the Holocaust survivor. There has been some major people that played major roles in our culture for decades who did pass away, as well as some really popular people as well in the pop culture world. Like we said, we just had George Michael and now subsequent death of Carrie Fisher. But everybody's doing those year in reviews, and everybody's got their take on it, blah blah blah. I thought, I always try to find the little quirky side of things. What was my year like? And so I'm going to go through my hard copy day planner here and share with you what my year was like. And it's going to jog my memory because I haven't looked back at the last 11 months since I lived them. So we'll just see. Was it a very good year? But before we do that, so during the break, Dan Long is producing for me tonight, and so he walked in the studio of the producer's booth and said, okay, you've got my you've got my curiosity up. I've got to smell this Cashmere Woods.
Yeah, well, you were hyping it up so much,
right.
And like the ingredients that you listed off, I couldn't form like an idea
in
my head of what the scent was going to be, so I'm like, I have to experience this.
So Dan walked in, I gave him a spritz, and what do you think?
It's a good, very good home scent.
Nice, right?
Yeah.
Will a Dan Long perhaps venture out and pick it up?
Yeah, absolutely. I would certainly consider it for
do
my...
Do you have a cent?
I don't have a cent, no.
Well, now you do. The official Jim Toronto scent is Cashmere Woods, and I'm just looking at the text, and I'm loving this because I have been talking about this the last couple of nights, and we got somebody here from 815 says, I just bought that scent yesterday because I heard you mention it, and it is wonderful. I sound like I'm on some on one of those infomercials. And according to 773, I love Cashmere Woods. I didn't even know there was a candle, but now I'm going to look for that too. Love it.
By the way, if there's a Glade rep out there, email me at dlong@wgnradio.com. Let's make some money.
And someone else says here about Cashmere Woods, I have an air freshener that smells of caramel and vanilla. It's awesome. Not bad. But I'm sort of liking my vanilla, citrus, and amber. Or as we call it, Cashmere Woods. That's what we call it. So, yeah, I mean, And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, you know, I don't know where I'd be without Febreze because some days, you know, you don't get a chance to shower 17 times a day. So you do the little quick thing and you spritz yourself with a little Febreze just to make sure that you don't, especially in the summer. All I know is this is now going to be in my car as well. So I'm going to now my car is going to have Cashmere Woods scent. And every so often, I might just, you know, raise an armpit and give a little shot of Cashmere Woods. You know, I've got my own cologne I like. There's this, it's hard to even find anymore. Don't make it. So I have to go online and find people that, you know, if it's been in stock somewhere and people get these overstocks and they still have it. It's called Montage. It's by Graham Webb. And I've used it for over 20 years and they stopped making it, which is strange because you go online and it's so expensive because there's still a demand for it. I don't know why they stopped making it. But as much as I like Montage and I've been wearing it for years, I might have to go with Glade. And I'm telling you, Glade, you might want to think about a perfume of Cashmere Woods. There is a candle. And they have now Cashmere Woods. I mean, like I said, for all I know, this has been around for years. I never knew it. But, you know, Glade has those other fresheners where you can plug it in. It's like an electric, and it also, you plug in the scent, and it keeps on an electric. You put it in your outlet, and it you know, gives the smell out to the room. So they have it in all their different formats. They've got candle. They've got that electric thing. They also have this weird, this is a strange thing, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. To be honest with you, I'll be honest with you. The Cashmere Woods in this, what I'm going to describe, isn't very strong. So don't buy the Cashmere Woods in this. There's this weird little air freshener thing that you twist and you lift it up, and it's like a blob of jelly. It's the weirdest thing. And it has, but when you open it up, it has the scent. But it's this blob of jelly, and the weirdest thing is you just put it on a, you know, on a table in a corner, and it lets off the scent. And then as time goes on, this blob of jelly starts, I don't know how this happens, but it starts to disintegrate, and it gets hard. And then the smell, and then you have to start throwing it out. So it does, it's not bad. Then the clean linen on that is very strong for the first week or so, and then it kind of diminishes. But I bought the Cashmere Woods because I went on a Cashmere Woods tear. Everything that has Cashmere Woods on it, I bought. And that thing, I don't know what they call it, a little air freshener with this blob of jelly. That's the only way I can describe it. That wasn't as strong, so I would not get that. But definitely get the candle. The candle is very, very good. It does smell like the scent, and it is strong, and it does fill the room up as well as, of course, the can, which is always dependable. So where else are you going to get tips like this? I mean, you know, you scan the dial and they're talking about politics and they're talking about, you know, public school budgets and they're talking about Trump and they're talking about all the shootings here. And you come to an Elton Jim show and what do you get? Talking about air fresheners. You laugh, but I'm telling you, it's helpful. And I am so excited now to see, Like I said, I went on my Facebook page, and people are posting pictures of their cashmere woods in their homes, and it's so great. And somebody just asked, do they make it in the plug-in version? Yes, they do. They make it in the plug-in version. Cashmere Woods, the scent of 2017 for any serious Elton Jim Toronto listener. Should we take a break here, Dan? Yeah, why don't we take a quick break? And then I said we will begin to go through my day planner month by month to see if it indeed was a very good year for Elton Jim. So come back right after this break. No switching. And we're back here at WGN. I'm Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio. Just checking the texts. Someone mentioned the Kennedy Honors, which was on last night, where in Washington, the Kennedy Honors, they honor very well-known artists. And I did see that show, and I will comment on it. I planned on commenting on that maybe in the next half hour or so. The Eagles received the award, James Taylor, Mavis Staples from right here in Chicago. Al Pacino was a pretty good group, and some really nice performances, and these were some iconic people. It was really a well-put-together show. So I will comment. I was planning on talking about that, so thank you for the reminder. But let me get to my day planner. As I said, everybody is doing reviews in the year in review for the world. I'm going to look back on my personal year in review. So I've got my day planner here. It is by Mead. It has a blue cover. I have not looked at January through November since I lived through them. So this is going to be a little jolt. So let's see. So I forgot this. I was on January 1st in this time slot. January 1st, I was on WGN from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. And ironically, on January 1st in 2017, I will be on from 9 to 1. So there we go. Now, what the heck? Okay. I went to the foot doctor on January 5th. I tore my Achilles tendon in September of 2015. And I'm still feeling the effects of that. And so, I went to the foot doctor. Interesting. I had my hair cut on the 7th. And then my birthday is on January 8th. And I did not remember this. I had a haircut on my birthday on January 8th. I forgot about that. On January 9th, went out with my godson and his parents and his wife to celebrate my birthday. That was a fun time. We went to a nice restaurant in Oak Park. What else? Ah, yes. I forgot about this. What is this PT stuff? Throughout the PT. What the heck is PT?
Physical therapy?
Yes.
For your heel?
Yes. Physical. That's exactly what. How come you know that and I don't? I'm like, when I saw PT, I thought of parent teacher conference. I'm like, you know, I'm back in fourth grade. I'm like, I don't have any parent teacher conference. Yes, exactly. My physical therapy, because it's right next to the foot doctor. Hello. Yeah, it's like, it was like, because I went like two or three times a week at the beginning, and then it slowly decreased, I think, through like, March and April. But yeah, PT. Oh, wow. I went to PT a lot. Wow. It did help, I must say. Oh, my gosh, that tendon. The first couple of days I went, I think I started. That was probably, did I go? I actually have December on here. Yeah, I started in January. The first day I went was January 4th, PT. Totally forgot about that. And that was like a huge part of my life for 4 months. Totally forgot about that. Oh, my gosh, the first day, the physical therapist, I was on my back. I have this Achilles tendon. Thank God it wasn't completely torn and ripped. It was just torn. So thankfully, I didn't have to have surgery. But I did have to go to therapy. So the first day, I'm on my stomach and have my leg kind of at a 90-degree angle. And she's going, and I feel her like right along the tendon and right along by the ankle. And oh, my God, it was excruciating pain. It was like, it felt like there was little knives. And I'm like, whoa, what are you using on me here? I felt like I was in some S&M dungeon. I'm like, what are you? It felt like there was something with spikes. I was like, what kind of tool are you using? Because I didn't really know this woman. She's very good, but I didn't know her yet. And I'm like, what are you using? This is, and she's like, and she shows me, it was a completely flat and round tool What she was doing was breaking all of the scar tissue that was in there. She had this little tool that it wasn't even 3 inches long, and it was round. It was a completely benign tool. But when she rubbed that on my tendon, holy smokes. Oh, when I turned around, I thought she was going to have a black leather mask on with a ball in her mouth. I mean, that's how, S&M this thing felt to me. But as time went on, the scars, internal scars went away, and then it became a nice, pleasurable experience. Yes, from pain comes pleasure. But wow, when she first did that. But yes, thank you, Dan. PT, hello. Physical therapy. Wow, very busy with physical therapy. I forgot when I went. I went to see an Elton John concert, which was number 161 in Los Angeles. He had put out a new album in 2016, and he was doing a preview of that album at a nice old vintage theater called the Wiltern in downtown LA. And so I went to see that show. So I left on the 12th, and the show was on the 13th. And then I came back, and I went to physical therapy at 3 p.m. I got home at 11 a.m., and I went to physical therapy at 3 p.m. Oh, forgot about this. What a week that was. I saw Elton on the 13th of January, and here on the 19th of January, saw Bruce Springsteen, my other favorite, at the United Center, doing the entire River album. Oh, was that a great concert.
I was at that show, too.
Were you?
Yep.
Wasn't that awesome?
It was amazing.
Oh, I mean, the River, to me, is Springsteen's best album.
Yeah, my favorite, too.
It is. It came out in 1980, double album. So, I mean, it's got, 22, 23 songs. And what was great about that album is that whenever someone says, why do you like Bruce Springsteen, I always direct them to the River album, because I believe that it really encompasses the essence of his music overall. It's got the rock songs. It's got the old kind of rock soul songs and the rock and roll kind of rockabilly songs. It also has the ballads. It has the songs about him and his dad. All of the key components of what really is the essence of Bruce Springsteen to me is all there within those 22 songs on the River. And he performed the whole album from beginning to end in order, which was just awesome. In fact, I saw that again. Now that reminds me, I think I saw it when I get to March, I'm going to find out when I saw that in Milwaukee. But yeah, so what a great week that was. Now I'm saying, wow, this year started out pretty good. So I saw Elton in L.A. I had physical therapy. Saw Bruce at the United Center. Had lunch on the 21st with my godson Patrick. Oh, I didn't remember this. I saw Elton again in Vegas on the 23rd of January. Okay. Then my godson Patrick and Thea, I performed their wedding. I officiated their wedding a year before, but on the 24th was their year anniversary, on January 24th. My mother-in-law's birthday is on the 26th. And I finished January. Oh, I forgot about this. We had an awning on our house that got blown down by the wind. And little did I remember, I had an appointment to have the awning taken down. It was an old awning. I took that awning down, and the guys came between 8 o'clock and 10 o'clock a.m., to take the awning down on January 29th. And wow, that month was really filled with a lot of physical therapy. So there's January. Good month. Very good month. Healing with my physical therapy. Seeing two of my favorite performers within a week. Celebrating some nice personal things, birthdays and anniversaries. Getting some stuff around the house done, removing the awning. Also was on WGN on the 1st of of January 1st. And then I look here, I was on again, filling in for Dean on the 31st. So there you go. January, I'm going to give January a nice solid B+. Based on my event calendar here, I'm digging January. Year started out very good. Let's look at February. Before we go to the news here. Do I need to take a break or I go right to the news, right? Okay, cool. I got a few minutes here. So let's see, what did I do on the news on February? February, another haircut on February 3rd. I usually go every 4 weeks. My wife went to the doctor. on February 1st. What was that about? I must have drove her to the doctor. Don't remember that one. Filled in on January 5th here at WGN. Let's see, the Super Bowl. Elton did the car karaoke during the Super Bowl with James Corden, so I've got that mentioned on there. And I watched it by my friend's house, and they actually won a very good Super Bowl pool. Now I remember that. That was a fun day. That was Super Bowl Sunday, February 7th. February 8th was my dad. He passed away. It would have been his 89th birthday on February 8th. Oh, February 14th. Yes. Valentine's Day. I am an officiant for weddings and other events through the Universal Church. I was the officiant on my godson Patrick's wedding in 2015 in January, and I was the officiant for my uncle, for my wife's uncle and his partner's wedding, which was on Valentine's Day, Ray and Joe. So now I've done two weddings in my officiant career, and I've got a straight wedding and a gay wedding. So if there are any transgender out there that want to get married, call me up, because then I can have the triple crown: straight, gay, and transgender. So any transgender people out there that want to get married in 2017, I can marry you, and then I'll have hit the gamut there on all types of weddings. But yeah, their wedding was on Valentine's Day, so we'll definitely have to get them a card for that. What else did I do here? I put a lot of, on my day planner, I put a lot of my favorite shows when they were returning, so I would know when to record them. So, for instance, did you know that Better Call Saul premiered on February 15th? I did, because I had it down in my book, and I didn't miss it. My two very good friends, Pat and Madonna, their 31st anniversary was on the 16th. Tom Skilling's birthday is February 20th. Send him a card. I went to the dentist on February 22nd at 10:40. Went to the dentist. And yes, the month once again filled with PTs. But not as much now. It seems like at this point I cut it down to 2 days a week in February. So January was the beginning. I was doing like three times a week. And here in February it looks like I'd cut it down to two times a week. And the last day, oh no, we had a leap year. Forgot about that. Did you remember that February of 2016 we had a leap year? Yes, we did. You wouldn't have remembered that if I wasn't going through my calendar. And my parents both have passed away, but February 28th would have been their 58th or 57th wedding anniversary. I'll give February a solid B. Not too bad. So far, my year of 2016, going pretty well. Vic, how did you think your year went?
I haven't done the review yet, Elton Jim.
But how would you just think off the top of your head? When someone says, oh, did you have a good year? What would you say?
I would say 2016 was a rebuild year for me, and it was pretty good. And 2017 is going to be a powerful year.
Well, that's great. I saw a story that most people are optimistic, as I think we always are, about the coming year.
True.
But so you said, well, how did you describe it? Because that's pretty exciting.
Kind of a rebuild year for me.
No, but 2017 is going to be what?
I think it's going to be a powerful year.
A powerful year.
Going to have some gains.
Oh, very
in
what?
Different areas.
Oh, nice. You know, look at you.
Yeah.
You are steaming straight forward.
Right.
Look at you. Welcome back. Jim Tirano filling in for Nick DiGilio here at WGN. Be here till 5 o'clock, then we'll pass it off to David Plyer, who's doing the opening bell, I believe, all this week. And I believe Pete McMurray is filling in for Steve Cochran all week. So that's what's on tap for the near future here at WGN. But right now, as I said, I'm looking through my day planner. What did I do in 2016? So far, January and February, solid B+. Saw some great concerts. Had some good times with some friends. Looking at March, not much happened in March. Not a lot happened in March. Just basically was doing a lot of physical therapy. Oh, did see Bruce Springsteen again on that River Tour. which was excellent in Milwaukee. He plays Milwaukee a lot, and he always seems to really put out in Milwaukee for some reason. I don't know what his connection is, but he always seems to really put out a really good show in Milwaukee, and he certainly did that. I had to laugh. We got there early, and we parked in a multi-layered, multi-tiered parking garage. And so I told my wife, I said, look, you know, once this is over, we got to run out of here fast because we're toward the top and we'll never get out of that parking garage because you're going to have to just keep going spiraling down and people are going to be pulling out and it's going to be hell to get out. So we're staying for the whole concert, not leaving early. But as soon as this thing ends, we got to bolt out of here as much as I could with my Achilles, tendon thing. And so sure enough, the show ended. I knew when it ended. Boom. I could tell the lights were up for good and we dashed out. And I'm noticing that nobody is really, the concourse isn't crowded. And we got outside very quickly and there's no one outside really. And we got into the car and I realized what happened. It was like a 3 hour and 40 minute show. And let's be honest, Bruce's Bruce's audience is getting a little, old. The people, I think, were so exhausted after a 3 hour and 45 minute show that they were resting. So instead of getting up and heading out, they all just sat in their seats. Because I noticed as we walked out, I saw people sitting, and it didn't really occur to me until I got outside. So it was hilarious. We got out of the arena, outside, crossed the street, went up the four levels to where the car was, and flew out of the garage in 5 minutes while everybody else was trying to recuperate. So there's actually an advantage to having some tired Bruce tires everyone out so much that you can get out of the parking lot fast. So that was a great show. But yeah, I'm looking around here. Aside from my physical therapy, I did fill in with Bill Leff. I saw Elton again. Forgot about that. March 23rd. Another good month then. All of a sudden, now this month is I saw Bruce and Elton again. Two favorite performers in 1 month. So now I was going to give March maybe a B. It's elevated to a B+, because I saw both of them. And that's pretty much for March. April, whoa. A lot of physical therapy again, and it looks like the cool thing was I went for an audition for a play in Crystal Lake. The play was called Art, and I went for the callback on the 9th, and I wound up getting the role, and I did that show throughout the summer in Crystal Lake at the Ralph Theater. It was really a fun show to do. So on April 9th is when I got the callback to do another audition. And then we had a great little short vacation, about four-day vacation. Went to Cape Cod. If you want to really have a cool, kind of just laid-back, chill kind of place, Cape Cod in the summer, I hear, is pretty hectic. But we went, as I said, as it says on my day planner here, we went on April 14th, and it's just before the season begins. And so there wasn't hardly any people there, but the weather was nice. We walked right into restaurants. There was parking. We kind of had the whole city to ourselves. Most of the stores were open, even though some were closed because the official season hadn't started yet. But it was really relaxing. It was beautiful. The ocean is right there with the beaches. There was just a nice little crisp spring in the air. And as I said, we walked right in to the nice restaurants and whatever we wanted to do. And it was just a really nice laid back and enjoyable vacation. So if you ever want to go to Cape Cod, we went to Provincetown and Hyannis and took a side trip to Nantucket. Really, really fun holiday that we went on there. Oh, saw Elton in Vegas on April 30th. Wow, I really go see Elton John a lot. I didn't realize that. Wow, I really see him a lot. So I'll give April a nice, thanks to our Cape Cod, I give April a nice B+. So yeah, so far, 2016, I thought it was a pretty good year. And as I'm going through it month by month, I'm finding that was the case. So what was going on here in May? Not, Still do some, okay, physical therapy seems to be ending. Physical therapy ended on the 10th. That's the last time I see PT on here. Oh, we went to Boston to visit some friends. That was a great time. We're there for about 3 days. Hadn't seen them in a while in Boston. Nice. Oh, that's right. We got two new cars. Our leases were up. So on May 30th, we got two cars at our favorite Honda dealer. Oh, okay. Forgot about that, really. I forgot we got those cars in May. It's almost a year. So I'll give May, because we had the nice little thing, I'll give May a B. Not too much going on. We had a nice time with our friends. But once again, I'm giving B pluses and Bs, so that's pretty good. Whoa, June, very busy. Pretty much filled with rehearsals for the play every day. And that was I don't live close to Crystal Lake, so I had a nice hour drive every day. And we had rehearsals about 3 or 4 times a week. So that, yeah, pretty much June was rehearsal. Couldn't do much else than rehearse for that play 3 or 4 times a week. Yeah, a couple of birthdays of friends, but it was rehearsal heavy. And then the play opened on July 8th. And there we go. So I was pretty busy all of June and into July for those 6 weeks. And then we did 3 shows a week for about 3 weeks. So that pretty much was my July, my June and July, pretty much taken up by the play, which was a great experience. I will give both. The rehearsal was fun. We had a great cast, great play, great director. Total great experience. I really enjoyed that. A solid B plus on that. It's hard to give things an A, so I'm going to give solid B plus on June and July. So, yeah, not bad so far. All Bs and B pluses and solid ones. Looking in August, all I remember about August this year, it was very hot, and I hate heat. I sweat at the thought of heat. In fact, our house is at 60 degrees all winter, even when it was 4 degrees, the house was at 60, and I'm wearing shorts and a t-shirt. I tell my wife, you got a layer, because I'm dying of heat. So I just remember August being very warm, and looking around, what did we do here? The play closed. I had another haircut, and then I did another play. I did Bleacher Bums, and so those rehearsals started for Bleacher Bums in August, and the play was in September, so I had about 3 days a week of rehearsals for Bleacher Bums. Saw Bruce Springsteen once again at the United Center on August 28th. No Elton concerts in August, huh, Jim? You didn't see Elton. Didn't see Elton in the summer, too. That's right, he was in Europe. So August, again, was very warm, I remember, and the rehearsals in the rehearsal space for Bleacher Bums was very warm. Saw Bruce Springsteen, as I said, on August 28th at the UC. Almost 4-hour show. It was a 3-hour and 50-minute show, that one. That was another marathon. Another great show. Looking around here, we've got doing the podcast every Wednesday. Record that on Wednesday, and then it is posted every Monday. And then the Bleacher Bums play started in September. It opened on the 18th, and we did shows from the 18th through the 25th every weekend. So it was kind of busy with that in September. Enjoyed that show as well. I'll give September a solid B. It was a little hot, though. But the play was fun, and saw Springsteen, so it has to get a B. Yeah, I got to give that a B. October, we had our anniversary, and this I'll give this an A, to be honest with you, because we had an incredible trip. We went to Poland, to Krakow, and we went to Prague for what? 7 days. Great trip. I didn't know what to expect and came back loving both Krakow and Poland as well as Prague. So I'm sitting right. And then I saw Elton in Vegas once again. And how could you beat October? The Cubs won the World Series. Well, no, they actually won it in November, didn't they? Yes, the World Series. I've got World Series games here because they didn't win the World Series till November. But you had to love October. We missed the first round of the playoffs when we were in Europe. Well, we came home to see the second round and then the third round and then the World Series. So the World Series started at the end of October, and there it is. Oh, it's our cat Grimsby's birthday in November. So I will give October a solid A because of that trip and because of the Cubs being in the World Series. October gets an A, definitely. And then, of course, I think November's going to have to get an A because on November 2nd, the Cubs won the World Series 8-7 in 10 innings. And that was on the second day of the month. And I haven't even looked at the rest of the month, but how? I mean, come on. The Cubs World Series, that has to take precedence. Oh, yeah. I went to the dentist and had a cavity. Who gets cavities anymore? I had a cavity. So he filled my cavity over there. Filled in for Dean a couple of times. Saw Elton again on the 26th. Yeah, pretty much it was Cubs. It was Cubs. November has to get an A. And as we look at this month, I have to say that this month has been fun because I just finished a production of A Christmas Carol in Wheaton and had a great time doing rehearsals and doing that show in the second week. My wife and I went to New York on the first week of weekend of December for her birthday, and I went to the Carnegie Deli, which is closing, and had my favorite pastrami sandwich in the world. So went to New York in December, then I did a play, and now I've been filling in for the last week. I got to say, the year ended on a pretty high note. I'm going to give December an A because of my New York trip and my Carnegie Deli pastrami sandwich and both the play as well as filling in here on WGN. So I'm looking back out of 12 months. It seemed like it was a couple of A's, at least four or five B pluses, and the rest all B's. So you know what? It felt like a good year. And looking past the 12 months in my day planner, it was a good year. How was your year? If you want to let me know, give me a call. 312-981-7200. Was it a very good year for you? I just let you give you a little quick recap of mine. I was digging 2016. Health-wise was good. Experience-wise, it felt really good. And the physical therapy, which when I thanks to Dan, my producer, I forgot I had physical therapy for 4 months. PT, I didn't know what the hell that was. But that made me feel good as well physically because I'm finally at least walking a little better. Because for a while there, I was doing some major limping, and I'm still not back 100%. Boy, that Achilles tendon, take care of your Achilles tendon if you can. Fortunately, I fell off of a stage during a play, and that's how I tore my Achilles tendon back in September of 2015. I'm Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio here at WGN. Let me just read this one real quick. With your support, Chicago Tribune Charities is helping to transform the lives of those in need across Chicagoland. So give now at www.chicagotribune.com/donate. We'll take a quick break and be right back. No switching. Yeah, I'd forgotten. I saw Bruce 3 times in 2016. That's why you keep your day plan. In fact, I keep many of my day planners from years past just to remind myself. But I did not remember some of those things. I forgot I saw Bruce 3 times. I forgot about the Milwaukee show in March, which is actually a great show. But yeah, 3 times. Saw Bruce 3 times in 2016. Saw Elton 6 times in 2016. And so now I'm up to what? 166 Elton John concerts, and I think I'm at 58 Bruce Springsteen concerts. I unfortunately was disappointed. Talk about a Sophie's choice. I had a Sophie's choice decision between Bruce and Elton last month. Bruce came to Chicago to promote his book and did a very unique meet and greet signing at a bookstore here in downtown Chicago. I was very excited. I wanted to attend that. It was basically just a quick 20-second picture with him and you're out. But for 20 seconds, you get a chance to meet Bruce Springsteen and get a picture. I certainly would have waited in line and to do that. But I was coming back from an Elton John concert. And my plane was landing back here in Chicago when the Bruce event was over. And I had the Elton trip already planned long before they announced the Springsteen thing. So it was kind of difficult. It was a Sophie's choice, but I had to stay with the Elton concert because I had hotels and air and tickets already in hand. So that one hurt because I would have liked to have gotten my picture with Bruce. I didn't hear from anyone. I haven't talked to anybody who went to that event. Did you go to that event? If anybody out there went to see Bruce Springsteen and got a picture with him, I'd like to know how that was, because I certainly would have been there if I could have, but I had a Sophie's Choice moment, Elton versus Bruce, and Elton won. 312-981-7200 is my phone number. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGilio here. He'll be here till 5 o'clock. I'm checking the... I was checking the texts, and I don't know if it's just that people that are angry or negative are the ones who respond, and those who are enjoying themselves just sit back and have a good time. But a few people not as excited about me running down my 12 months of the year as I was, according to the texts. Not a ton of them, but a few people were saying, oh, enough of this. Worst idea ever. I'm tired about hearing about your year. Well, you know what? There's another channel, I guess. What can you say? This is what I was offering you. So hopefully there were some people who did. In fact, I'm reading this one. It said, in October you went to Poland, but before you went and filled in for Nick and had to buy a hat. Did you buy one? I had to buy a hat. I don't remember what that even means. But someone remembers. Here's another one. I love reading the angry texts. Seriously? This is your radio show? Reading your day planner for a year to the rest of us? I really don't care that you went to the dentist or saw Bruce Springsteen three times this year. I take it your wife has a really good job, so you can just support you in playing at being an actor and fooling around at concerts. Wow. Someone said, I liked hearing about your year. Okay, thank you. Sorry if I had a good year and you didn't. Sounds like a few people just had a bad year and don't like to hear about someone who had a pretty good year. Sorry about that, gang. And you know what? As I said before, try to do some things different here. You know, it's 2 a.m. So, I could talk about, school board woes, or I could talk about Donald Trump, or I could talk about whatever it is. But, you know, everybody else does that. So I try to do something different. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. I don't know. Some people didn't like that. That's your choice. You could always turn the station. And what can I say? All I know is I'm glad I did it. Because I'm glad I proved to myself that I had a nice 2016. And I'm looking forward to 2017. See, I guess I'm an optimistic person. And I like to look back and I'm like a little nostalgia. And I do like to remember what I did. Because, yeah, I think, you know what? I think I enjoyed myself in 2016. I had a really bad 2015. And health-wise, there was a lot of health things that went on. And other kinds of things. And so I had a really bad 2015. One of the worst years, I would say, in my life. And so I was glad. And I worked hard to have a good 2016, and it looks like I did. Sorry you didn't enjoy the recap, if you didn't. If you did, hope you had fun just recapping, and maybe you can do the self with your own day planner or your little calendar to see what you did and get a real sense of what you did in 2016 to give you either some inspiration to go out and do something fun and fill up those pages in 2017. Hey, that's all we're here for. Trying to entertain you. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Some people find it good, some people don't. That's the risk you take every time you turn the microphone on. Elton Jim Toronto here at WGN, filling in for Nick DiGilio. Be here till 5 a.m. And we'll hand it over to David Plyer, who'll be doing the opening bell. And I think Pete McMurray will be filling in, as he has been all week, for Steve Cochran. I wasn't fishing for for any compliments or anything, but I'm glad to see that when I was reading some of the negative comments about my last little segment there, when I was going through my daily planner month by month and sort of running over what I did, I've got a flurry of very positive comments. And so I'm glad that some people out there did enjoy it, as well as some people that didn't. And folks, here's the thing. There's a little irony in comedy or in entertainment. Yeah, you know what? I know it's kind of stupid to talk about how I went to the dentist. That's the absurdity. That's the irony of the segment. Sorry I have to explain comedy to a few people, but obviously a lot of people out there did get what I was doing. The fact that it sounded kind of mundane and kind of stupid and kind of silly, that's the bit. Get it? And I'm glad to see that there was a lot of people out there who did get it. Yeah, that's the whole idea. Anyway, we're done with that. But I'm glad a lot of people chimed in and did enjoy it. I had a fun time recounting my year, and hopefully you had a good year too. But wow, talk about a year that, if not for the election of Donald Trump as president-elect and soon president, which clearly is the story not only of 2016, but maybe one of the biggest stories in American history in terms of that election. How he's going to do as president is anybody's guess. But the sheer election of Donald Trump as president, whether you like him or not, is beside the point. The fact that he had no political experience, never held a political office, and wound up going from never holding an office to holding the most important and most powerful job in the world. Wow. That's a big story, regardless of whether you like him or not, of whether you're afraid of what might happen or not. Put that away and just look at the fact of what happened, that Donald Trump became president. That's got to be a big story. But if it had not been for that election, no doubt, it just seems the amount of iconic personalities in pop culture entertainment who have passed away. We've always have people that pass away. Every award show every year always has that in memoriam section. You see some high profile people, but it just seems like this year, in a flurry of them, boom, 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 one after another, well-known, iconic, and in some cases, young people, relatively young, passing away, as well as, some people that were in their 80s and 90s, John Glenn, Zsa Zsa Gabor, Arnold Palmer, but still, icons all their own, especially in the 20th century. And that would have probably been the defining aspect of 2016, and certainly will be, in addition to the election. But wow. So speaking of that, this George Michael thing took so many people by surprise. And it really is interesting how some celebrity deaths had a bigger impact on people than others. The one that surprised me most was Gene Wilder's death. Gene Wilder, very popular, funny, comedic actor, did some great movies, with Mel Brooks, Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, did some great movies with Richard Pryor, Stir Crazy, a few of those. He was in an early Woody Allen movie, Everything You Want to Know About Sex But were afraid to Ask. But obviously, and I didn't know this, it was one of my favorite movies, because the movie came out in 1971 and I was like 6 or 7 years old. So it was right in my wheelhouse. He was Willy Wonka in the Willy Wonka, in the Chocolate Factory. But I did not know how much that movie had transcended the generations. And really, for millennials and people in their 20s and 30s, that movie is like one of their touchstone movies. And I had no idea that Willy Wonka was so popular with a younger age group, because the movie was older. I don't know if people wound up seeing it later on cable or where, but clearly When Gene Wilder passed away, that story was not only made international news, but the outpouring went on for several days, and it was all Willy Wonka, Willy Wonka, Willy Wonka. I had no idea. I'm a huge Willy Wonka fan. I actually have several figurines in my house of the original drawings of the Willy Wonka from the Roald Dahl book. But I had no idea that Gene Wilder's portrayal of Willy Wonka had become such a touchstone for the younger generation. I knew it was people my age because it came out when we were kids. But that one surprised me, the depth of outpouring. As I said earlier, I was talking yesterday to Hannah Stanley, who was filling in for Patty Vasquez. And the one celebrity death that jolted me the most was completely unexpected and someone whose work I really admired, and that was comedian Gary Shandling. And he had both the Gary Shandling Show in the 80s and then the Larry Sanders Show in the 90s, and he was one of the more popular fill-in guests, guest host for Johnny Carson. In fact, from what the stories were, was actually offered to be the permanent host instead of Jay Leno, and he turned that down. And then Leno, of course, got the job ultimately. But, Gary Shandling, very influential. If you've never seen any of those shows, go back now. I know they're on DVD because I've got them all. Check out the Gary Shandling Show, which was on Showtime in the mid-80s. Really fun sitcom in which Gary broke the fourth wall and talked to the audience, which is now very commonplace on shows like Modern Family and The Office, where they sort of talk to the camera. Gary Shandling sort of made that popular again. That was popular back in the 50s. George Burns did that quite a bit on the Burns and Allen Show. But Gary Shandling bought it back in the 80s. And now you see that a very common element of many of our popular sitcoms. Parks and Recreations did that as well. So Gary Shandling's influence on comedians and on television will be felt long after his passing, which was a shock. And really sad. But so George Michael passes away. And once again, I think the same thing with Prince, who was 57, George Michael, 53. Prince obviously had some drug problems. We don't know what happened to George Michael. But once again, you're seeing that this George Michael death, in addition to the shock of it, is really having an impact on a lot of people. And once again, I turn back to the millennial crowd, because you have to remember, like, people like Prince and now people like George Michael, they came to their prominence and their biggest popularity in the mid-80s. And for the most part, people in their 30s and late 30s to early 40s were 10 or 11 or 12 years old at that time. And that's when you're beginning to really soak in the pop culture. You're getting into music, you're getting into movies, you're getting into television. And so Prince and George Michael were sort of the idols of people who are now in their late 30s or early 40s. That's who they grew up idolizing. And so when these people pass away, it's a big deal, because right now the people in the media who are writing the stories for us to read about these passings are those exact people in those age groups. So someone, for instance, like, Zsa Zsa Gabor, someone in their 30s or 40s doesn't even know who Zsa Zsa Gabor is. If you're in your 50s or older, you certainly know who Zsa Zsa Gabor was, and you would make a big deal about it. But it didn't get as much play as you would think, because the people who are writing the stories now really have no idea who Zsa Zsa Gabor was and don't care. Yet when George Michael dies, and he certainly is worthy of attention, he had a two-decade career at the very least. 21st century seemed a little tough for George Michael with some personal problems and some arrests. But there's no doubt that in the 80s and 90s, George Michael was one of the most popular performers in the world. And he had an amazing voice. No question about that. I wasn't a huge fan of his music, but I certainly was a fan and appreciated his talent. You could not deny the voice. But, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go came out in, 83 or 84? And so if you're 40 years old or so, you know, that was, 30 years ago? So you were 10, and you were watching MTV. And so you grew up with that music. And as we know, it's that music that we grew up with and those movies that we grew up with, as I said earlier about Willy Wonka, those movies that we grew up with and those movies that we – and the music that we listen to, as much as our tastes change and we continue to listen to different music and find new favorites as we get older and we find new movies, but you always do come back to those things that you grew up with because those are the ones that had a great impression on you just as your brain was this open sponge just taking in you know, new experiences and new stuff. So that's why you see a Prince death really become a major deal. And now George Michael, I'm just reading some stories, and it sounds like this is going to be one heck of a funeral. This might even, in England, it looks like this funeral, if he has a big affair, it sounds like he's going to, may be rivaling something like Lady Di's funeral. He was huge in the UK. And but it's just a strange phenomenon when you see certain people, like, for instance, there was this actor who was on the show, Barney Miller, Ron Glass. Barney Miller was the number one show for several years in the 70s. Anybody, once again, who's 50 years old or older remembers Barney Miller as a great TV show. Ron Glass was one of the key actors on that show. He died. He was 70 years old, and it was a blip. It was a blip. Because younger people don't even know Barney Miller. It's not on reruns very much. There's not a lot of awareness. And so, once again, the people writing the stories, covering the news, it doesn't really resonate with them. So there's another part. You have to remember, you know, how we remember people who pass away, certainly iconic people in the pop culture world. A lot of the importance that is put on their lives when they pass away depends on the generations that is reporting on it. If those people were important to those reporters and those editors on television news stations, on internet sites, and in newspapers, if those people were important to those people personally, that will become front page news. If they weren't, they heard about them, heard of them, maybe never heard of them, they will cover it because they have a responsibility to cover it. It's a news story, but it won't get a 3 or 4 day, you know, life in the news cycle, or it won't get a front page mention. I mean, George Michael's picture was on the front page of the newspaper in the corner. You know, singer dies. That's because I would venture to say, I guarantee you, the editors of the Tribune are probably in their mid-40s, and they grew up listening to George Michael. So that's why George Michael makes the front page. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but I, as I said also, there are some other people that may have deserved that same kind of, and I would put Gary Shandling in that category, for instance, who didn't get it because the people writing about this stuff really don't know who he is and wasn't really on their radar screens. So it really depends a lot of time on how a celebrity affects people, but it also depends on who is reporting on that as well. So always keep that in mind. And like I said, the Gene Wilder thing really took me by surprise. Jim Toronto here at WGN, 720 AM. It is 3:52. We'll be with you until 5 AM. And let's go to the phones here. What is that? Is that Mark? How you doing, Mark?
Yes, good morning. I have 3 points about Keith Emerson, why he wasn't talked about as much, what my own connection is, and why his story is a cautionary one about social media.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, Keith, let me just tell people in case they don't know, Keith Emerson was a pioneering keyboard player for the progressive rock group from the 70s. Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, and in this year, Keith Emerson committed suicide.
Yeah, and
a few, in a few weeks later, Greg Lake of Emerson, Lake, and Palmer also died. And just to keep things, the drummer was Carl Palmer. He's still alive, But just so we know, in 2016, even though Emerson and Lake died, a Palmer did die as well, Arnold Palmer. So Emerson, Lake, and Palmer did all pass away.
Yeah, now, Keith Emerson was not, I guess you couldn't say he was mainstream. He wasn't mainstream. There were some top 40 contributions from Emerson, Lake, and Palmer, probably most notably from the beginning in 1972. But the second point is I never met the man, but I did have an acquaintance with David Luce, who was a technical advisor on some of their work. And in fact, Mary Jane Luce attended church with our family, and when Bob Moog died, the inventor of the Moog synthesizer, I called her to express condolences, and I said, say, what were those three guys like on the road? And she said, oh, they were typical bachelors.
That says it all, right?
Yeah, see, I didn't ask any more questions at that point. See, the Moog synthesizer plant is in the Buffalo area, and Bob Moog was the inventor. But the third thing is that Keith Emerson had some kind of debilitating condition in his hands, and he felt extremely insecure about going back on tour, and he maybe somewhat naively confessed that on social media, and people took pot shots at him. According to his Japanese girlfriend, who was 51 when he was 71, and she said that despite being flamboyant on stage, he was actually a very gentle and sensitive man in his private life. And she thinks that the combination of his losing his finger dexterity to an extent and then having people take pot shots at him on the media, it just all got to him. And sort of rubbed in his degenerative condition and his slim chances of recovering the virtuosity and the success that he had before. And so that led to killing himself. That's what she believes. And I just want to say, be careful what you say to other people and about other people on social media, because it's not just there for you to ventilate. There might even be a life at stake.
Well, that's a very good lesson to be learned there, Mark, because, yeah, I mean, you know, we have taken social media so for granted now. Everybody has immediate, instant access, and yeah. And it is a place, I mean, cyberbullying is not a joke, and it depends. I mean, some people, you know, when I was a kid, I mean, there were always bullies in the neighborhood, and to some extent, everybody has been picked on for one reason or another, and you do, and in some cases, it actually helps you to develop a little thick skin, which is helpful when you get out into the world, because not everybody's going to like you, and you have to be able to take.
Deeper than that, the deeper problem than that is that there's a feeling of entitlement in the air these days, and social media becomes an outlet for that. I can say whatever I please, and nobody can stop me.
Well, you know what? And there's a good point. Thanks for the call, Mark. The reason that coming off of what Mark is saying about this entitlement and that people can just do or say whatever they want, I think a great example of that, and once again, regardless of what you think about Donald Trump, this is not about politics or about Trump. This is about decency, coming off of what Mark just said about the sense of entitlement and people thinking that they could do whatever they want, wherever they want. And I found it very disconcerting when I saw that Ivanka Trump was on a commercial flight on JetBlue and people started just berating her, because they hate Donald Trump and they hate her and everything he stands for. And at the end of the day, I understand that. However, there should be a level of respect for the fact that whether you like Trump or not, he's the president of the United States, and there is a sense and a certain level of respect that goes with that office, and with that goes with his family. And so, no, yes, I mean, constitutionally, you have a right to say whatever you want to say. But have we lost all sense of decorum as a society that, to Mark's point, that we just say anything we want because we want to? You know, have a little class, and have a little respect. You may not like Donald Trump, and you may not like Ivanka Trump, but if she's sitting in a plane minding her own business, I don't think anybody has the right. They have the right, but they certainly don't have the class to just walk up to her and start berating her. Show a little class. I think we're losing a lot of that, and social media is a part of that because we are now just so used to having instant access to let the world know what we think, and we think that everything that we think is right. And that is dangerous, and there's a lot of negativity on social media. And as I said, to some extent, you have to have a little thin skin about it. But hey, you know, you're still human. But that thing about Ivanka Trump bothered me, regardless of what your politics are. It's the daughter of the president-elect. I think there needs to be some respect. You may not like that he won the election. I'm sorry, but he did. And people voted for him. And that's his daughter. And I think she deserves some respect, too. I think that was a little out of line. And welcome back. Elton Jim Toronto with you here at WGN. Be here for another 54 minutes. Wow, this show has flown by. Hope it's gone fast for you. I'm having a good time. Hope you are too. As we inch closer to sunrise, Dave Plyer will be doing the opening bell, and Pete McMurray then will be filling in for Steve Cochran all this week. So let's just go to the phones. We're talking right before the news there about social media. Initially, we're talking about Keith Emerson, who was one of the founding members of Emerson, Lake & Palmer, one of the most popular progressive rock groups in rock history, Carnival Number 9, which is that great song that goes, "Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends." And, of course, Lucky Man was also an Emerson, Lake & Palmer song, very well known, written by Greg Lake when he was like 12 years old. Unbelievable. But Keith Emerson committed suicide, and according to one of our callers, Mark, may have been, according to Keith Emerson's girlfriend, some of the results may have been because of some social media shots at him, that he had lost some of his musical talent or dexterity, and he was already dealing with that fact on his own, and to get bombarded by that on social media may have had an impact on him, and he may have contributed to him taking his life. So I was just talking a little bit about social media and kind of bullying, and here's Jay. How you doing, Jay?
Elton, Jim, I'm doing fine. How are you doing? I liked your show tonight.
Very good. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Elton, Jim, I just want to make a comment on the last subject on social media about the caller that called in. And that reminded me about someone that I'm communicating with on social media. It's a boy that I went to high school with 40 years ago, and he's now a woman. He is now a woman, and I've encouraged him to go onto social media to our Facebook page. I created a 40-year high school reunion Facebook page, and I'm trying to show compassion to this person that no one is going to take pot shots at you, but yet this person feels that he's going to be or she's going to be subjected to pot shots that she doesn't want to, and she wants her privacy, and she is not sure if she wants to come to a 40-year high school reunion or not. What should I do? Should I continue to show compassion to this person that no pot shots will be taken, that we will be friends?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think first of all, it's very nice of you to be reaching out to that person and showing some compassion, because that certainly is not an easy situation. And to find someone from that person's past like you, who is accepting of their life choice, is certainly, I'm sure, a very soothing and positive thing in their life. So what you're doing and what you can control is obviously a very positive thing, and you should be commended for that. However, you also need to respect that person's view and fear, because this is, you know, I mean, don't forget, I mean, in the last year or so, our culture has really done some seismic shifts. I mean, who would have thought 5 years ago that gay marriage would have been legalized? I mean, let's not forget, Barack Obama, when he ran in 2008, did not support gay marriage. And then later on, Joe Biden kind of jumped the gun, and then he did. But my point is, one of our most liberal and progressive presidents, even 8 years ago, could not run on a stand of being for gay marriage because it was still controversial. And now, within the last year, gay marriage is legalized. And now the transgender issue, as you're saying, is coming to the forefront. And we've had people like Bruce Jenner, very high-profile people. But my point to you is, I think you need to respect that person's fear, because this is not easy. And as much as I think you are, you sound like a very positive person, you really can't, and this is not a shot, I'm just trying to be honest with you, you really can't control how other people are going to react to him or her. And so for you to say, don't worry, no one's going to take pot shots at you, I appreciate your positive outlook, but you know what? You really can't guarantee that, because social media is its own animal and people do have their own opinions. And I would hate to put that person in a false sense of security, because then if there are some pot shots, it may be very devastating for them. You know what, you see what
And I agree with what you're saying. And then I'll conclude by saying something that one of our classmates from 40 years ago, who is now a doctor, a medical doctor, said of me that I have a big heart to reach out to this person. Okay, so one side of the conversation is, okay, respect your privacy. Yes, we are. But also look at the fact that in reaching out to you, we have a big heart.
Oh, I think that, I think your friend, the doctor, is very right. You have a big heart, and you should continue to give your support to that person. And maybe when the time is right for that person, then they will take that other step to come public and maybe reach out to more people. I mean, you know, you are someone who has shown some compassion. And so obviously this person feels comfortable with you because you do have a big heart. But, you know, you can't guarantee that all your classmates will be as open-minded as you. You can't guarantee that. You can certainly hope that.
True.
But you can't guarantee that, and it would really be sad if that person went in there feeling that they were in a safe zone, and then all it could possibly take is one negative comment, and that person might not be able to handle it. So I would be a little careful in trying to push somebody that's not ready yet. And that's what I would say to you.
True. Thank you, Elton Jim, for your advice on this.
Okay,
thank you, Elton.
Great.
Jim.
And it's a nice thing you're doing there, Jay.
Thank you.
And let's go to Joe, the Cub fan.
Hey, Jim, you know, I don't know if you remember me. I used to call you.
Oh, yeah, all the time. You used to call all the time. You were.
And then later at the end, look what they did to our boy.
Look what they did to my boy. But wait a minute. So now, Joe, the Cub fan, let me wait.
To see him like this.
Yeah, I want you to use all your power and all your skills. So now, wait a minute. So now, Joe, the Cub fan, how do you feel about this Cubs?
Oh my God! you when you gave your months, October, November, A's, and everybody's complaining about your daily. By the way, I love that segment about the Daily Blender. They're just jealous. You got so much time on your hands to do all this stuff.
Well, you believe me, I'm not happy. I have so much time.
Yeah, but
I would love for somebody to hire me and take my time away.
People are dealing with three kids a day or three grandkids a day. Hey, you got some extra time. It's everybody's life is different.
No, but I mean, so you have to be out of.
Oh, he liked keeping up because he Remember he always said, if the Cubs win, the world is going to stop. And right. He said the people are going to go nuts, which well, 5 million people did.
Oh, but, yeah. Well, I don't know about five. And that, of course, you know, it's funny you say that, Cub fan, Joe, and now maybe we're going to get into an argument.
They got exaggerated. No.
Yeah, okay, because that that drove me crazy when they said that 5 million people were in Grant Park. The whole city of Chicago has under 3 million. Are you telling me that twice as many people of the city?
Hey, listen, by in 10 years from now, it's going to be 10 million.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, Chicago, in fact, and the reason, you know, I mean, I understand. Cub fans were out of their minds. They wanted to be able to brag that they had the biggest, you know, celebration party.
But that aside, yeah. It was the biggest story of
there's no doubt about that. Yeah, I mean,
And like you, I was out of town during the playoffs. My longtime girlfriend and fiance, we were in St. Kitt during the Dodger series. And
oh,
I don't
wow.
know if you've ever been to St. Kitt, but they do not get into baseball that much.
Well, I'll tell you, I was in Europe, and so, you know, for the first round when they played the Giants, and nobody even, I mean, what I actually did, because there was a computer in the lobby, I got up every day at 3 in the morning and 4 in the morning, went down to the lobby to check the internet to see what the Cubs were doing, because it was not on the international, CNN International. There was nothing about it. So I had to go down at 2 or 3 in the morning, because that's when the game was on here, because it was a 7-hour difference, to find out what was happening.
But let me tell you this. I was at a sports book, and they got soccer, they got football, and the Cubs were on, but it became a little non-exciting to watch it. So we went up back by the ocean. We're having a beer, and I told the guy, I said, down by the sports book, I said, listen, call my room when there's a score so I can go up the room and get a message. So we got up the room about 11. The phone is ringing, and it picks up the phone. He goes, it's 4-0 Cubs, man. I'll call you back. and then he called me up with the final at about 12. It's 10-2 final, man. Right. Cubs win. And I'm getting a St. Kitt sports phone.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic.
Yeah, well, like I said,
that tied up the series 2-2, and then they ended up winning the Dodgers. Yeah. And then we're coming in on Miami, from Miami on Saturday night when Clayton Kershaw and Hendricks were pitching, and the pilot said, the Cubs are going to the World Series.
Yeah. Yeah, how great.
Hearing you.
Oh, I appreciate that, Joe. I really appreciate it, Joe. I got to run here, but it was great to hear from you. And congratulations on your Cubs, our Cubs, I should say. But, yeah, I mean, it is odd when you go out of the country or out of town where there isn't the same kind of news that we're used to here in the United States. Like I said, the Cub World Series or the World Series in general was not on any kind of CNN International. It's all about soccer and things like that. Wasn't even a blip, and yet here in the United States, the World Series and the Cubs being in it was huge news. George Michael with his duet later on in the song with Elton John. That's the classic Elton John song, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, which is one of my favorite Elton John songs of all time. And this duet with Elton that came out in 1991 is just a great version. As I said, I wasn't crazy about George Michael's entire catalog of music. It was a little poppy for me. Couldn't deny the appeal of a song like Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go. I mean, it's impossible. It's a sugary pop song. I mean, that's got everything a pop song should have. And Careless Whisper, a great vocal. I mean, the guy was hugely talented in terms of one of the great voices. And they said he does an amazing version of Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me. And Elton joins him. And that song became a number one song in 1991, that version, in both the United States and in the UK. And the video for that, which is available on YouTube, was actually shot in part at the what is now the Allstate Arena, but at that time was the Rosemont Horizon. And I was at that show. It was a George Michael concert, and Elton popped out, and the crowd went wild because he hadn't been performing for a while. He had just taken about a year or so off. He had gone into rehab here in Chicago near Lutheran General Hospital at the Parkside Center. So he had not been performing for quite a while and was kind of a surprise guest. And they performed the song, and part of that performance is part of the video. And that really helped Elton get back sort of into the mainstream. He had some successful albums in the 80s, but certainly the 80s was not his decade. His decade was the 70s. And being embraced by someone as popular at the time as George Michael certainly helped. And it brought here this song, Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me, which was a huge hit, number two song on its own when it was released in 1974, to come back almost 20 years later and become a number one song, sung by one of the biggest artists of the time, giving it that validation really helped propel Elton back into the mainstream. And don't forget, 3 years later after that, he wrote the music for The Lion King, which was a blockbuster film, number one album in terms of the soundtrack, the movie, and now it's one of the best-selling, if not the best-selling, theatrical productions of all time. So George Michael certainly played an important role in Elton John's career, and vice versa, because Elton John was a huge influence for George Michael. I've just been reading some things on the internet, and it sounds as if they are going to have a funeral service for George Michael in the UK. And according to these reports, I don't know how valid they are at this point. I'm just skimming things, but it sounds like Elton will be performing at, if there is a memorial service or funeral for George Michael, that Elton is going to perform. So this could obviously have the same kind of impact, and certainly the comparisons to when Elton performed at Lady Diana's funeral in a reworked version of Candle in the Wind. I don't know if he will sing Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me at that event, if that does take place. It certainly would be fitting, because George Michael certainly played a role in bringing that song to a whole new audience. And it was very cool to be there at that time, because I hadn't seen Elton perform in a long time. It seemed to come out, and he got such a huge ovation at the concert. And it's all there on that video. Just go online on YouTube and you'll see it. So, yeah, it's very sad to see someone like George Michael, because, to be honest with you, right now, so many of the 80s performers are going through a renaissance that if George Michael really had put his mind to it, I'm not sure where he was physically, health-wise, or mentally, physically. I know he had a lot of problems, you know, with drugs and being arrested. So there was a lot going on in the guy's life. But the fact of the matter is, I would venture to say that he was so popular, which you're going to see now in the aftermath of his death, that there is no reason why, if he would have gotten himself back into shape, you know, vocally and physically, I can't believe that he couldn't have been a mainstay in Vegas and have been a very popular act and playing upon all the, 30 and 40-somethings who grew up with his music. And he really could have had a career renaissance. So sad to see such a talented performer go, and we saw many of them go. Here in 2016, a year once again almost defined by those we lost, which is an odd way of describing a year. But we certainly lost quite a few high-profile people in 2016.
Stop, whoa, yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait, Mr. Postman.
So do you send out Christmas cards? Is this kind of an antiquated tradition in this smartphone, tablet, fast-paced, email, digital world? Is the practice of actually taking pen to paper and writing Merry Christmas and signing your name on a card and putting it in an envelope and putting a stamp on it and a return address, and actually going to a mailbox, a physical mailbox, not just some little virtual inbox, outbox thing, but an actual post, you know, mailbox and putting it in there and mailing it. I don't know if people still go through those old school rituals. And I say that because I've always enjoyed sending out Christmas cards. And, you know, several years ago, we probably had more than 100 people on the list. You know, friends, family, friends of family, family of family. Anybody that that you knew, you sent a Christmas card to. And then as time went on, you sort of begin to pare the list down a little more. And then you begin to pare the list down a little more. You start to get less and less cards back. And as I said, then you, especially in this day and age, you know, people are sending e-cards or just sending emails to you. And so over the last couple years, my wife and I went through our Christmas card list and pared it down to now. At one time, it was easily over 100. And now we're down to, like, say, 65 of people that, you know, have consistently sent something back to us or people that we certainly do want to, you know, send a card to and wish them a happy holiday. But over the last couple years, we always seem to get, you know, we sort of seem to get back what we sent out. If we sent out, you know, 70 or 80, we would get that many back. Well, I've noticed in over the last couple of years that we were not getting back as many as we were sending out. So I didn't know, you know, is it just that people aren't sending them out anymore? Are they going the, you know, the e-route, if you will? Or are they just not doing it? It's just kind of a tradition that's getting a little arcane in people's minds. So I said to my wife, you know, let's do a little test here. This was last year. I said, we send out 65. So let's make a little rule here. If we don't get at least 32 cards back, then we're not going to send any cards out. You know, then obviously it's not that important to a lot of people. So, yeah, let's just see what happens. And, I mean, these are not hard and fast rules. Like, we could certainly break these rules. But as a little social experiment, let's just see. Let's really count how many we get. And is it worth it? Should we go the e-route instead of sending them and spending the money on stamps and take, you know, it does take time to fill out these cards because, you know, we do a lot on many of the cards, add a little special little, you know, inscription on there, not just a quick scrawl, but, oh, you know, even if it takes, it's just to say, hey, it was great to see you this year or hope to see you again soon. Merry Christmas. On every card, it's a 2 or 3 or 4 hour kind of exercise. So, I said whatever cards we get by Christmas Day. It's got to be by Christmas Day. And of course, there's no mail on Christmas Day since it's a holiday. So whatever we got by December 24th would be the defining factor if we were going to send out cards this year. I said 32 was the cutoff point, and we got 33 back. There was a part of me that sort of didn't want to even send them back. Send out cards, by the way, did because we made the rule and we had to abide by that. So my wife last year, right away, ordered new cards because right after the year you can get good deals on things. So we sent away for 65, you know, 70 cards to keep ourselves at that same level. And the box came back in December or January, put the box away with all the Christmas stuff. So we already had our cards. And we did the cards very early this year, got them out the first week of December. So once again, 65, got to get at least 32 back. Well, I noticed as the time went on that we did send them out early. I'll give you that. So people may not have been sending them out as early as we did. But now it was mid-December, and they were starting to trickle in. But certainly not in big waves where all of a sudden you had a pile of 10 or something at a time, like you used to get. And so I was wondering now, as it got to be like December 22nd, I said to my wife, you know, we got to start counting the cards here. Because there's only a couple of days left, and if we don't get 32, we're not sending them. Now, I did speak to a couple of friends, and I told them about my Christmas card dilemma, and they said, well, you know, I understand what you're saying, but the other side of the coin is, we like getting your cards. You know, we like, you always pick out really fun cards, and we like getting a card from you. And so, really, it's not fair to your friends who do send you one back, or who do appreciate you sending one. Maybe people just don't send cards out. So he said, it's really not fair for you to do that because there are a lot of people who may appreciate you sending them their card. And this really isn't the best way to gauge whether you should send them out or not, which was a valid point. But I still stuck with this for this year. On December 24th, on the last day of mail service before Christmas Day, we received 37 cards, more than last year. Certainly not 65, not as many as we sent out, but we did top more than half than we sent out. And so from what I understand, my wife told me yesterday she already went online and she ordered our cards for next year. I think she likes to do them. So I don't think I would ever stop, but I'm kind of tempted just to see, you know, this kind of thing. It's kind of fun to play this game. But we did get 37, and we've got a few tricklers in, a few stragglers that came after the last couple of days. So we're up to like 41 or 42 total returned cards from what we sent out, the 65. So we will be sending out cards in 2017. So as I was thinking about this, and here's another kind of take on this. We are going to get these cards in another week or so, I assume, the cards for next year. Most likely, our stable list of 65 people that we've been sending them out the last year will stay that way. Obviously, we hope they will all be around. And we may add a few more. We might meet some new people and meet new friends or whatever. We might add to that list by a couple. But certainly, the core 65 will all be there. So I'm toying with the fact, instead of doing that, you know, four-hour exercise right before Christmas, doing all these cards at one time and buying all the stamps and licking them all at the same time and doing all that and making a big deal in the rush to get them out, I wonder if it would be okay if we get the cards and we do them now. We do them now. We address them. We sign them. We put them in the envelope. Don't put the stamp on them yet, because we might not know what happens. What if people move? Then we don't lose the stamp. But if everybody stays the same and everybody lives in the same house and everybody, you know, with all hope, stays healthy, at least that core 65 will probably be on our same list. So why don't we just do them now without the rush? Do 5 or 10 a day and get them done. Put them in the box, put them with the Christmas stuff in one of the bins. When we take the stuff out in November, we'll have the box done, put the stamps on. We may add a few. Maybe there's a few new addresses. We may have to change the envelopes, but we'll be all done. We'll get those out even quicker this year. So what do you think about that? Is that anti-Christmas spirit, or is that anal retentive planning, or is it actually kind of smart? I don't know. What do you think? But here's David on the phone. David, how you doing?
Hi. What happened is me and my wife got married, and my family decided to pretty much ignore us. And so every year we send out about 50 cards to our family and friends. And we only get about 6 back a year. Actually, this year we only got 2.
Uh-huh.
So we sent a picture of us with a newsletter of what's been going on with us for the entire year, so they have an idea of who the people are that they're getting a picture of, because they don't even see me. It's been about 5 years since I've seen them.
Well, here's another thing to your point about people seeing you. One of my pet peeves is that you get these Christmas cards, the picture Christmas cards, and they come with a picture of just the children and not the whole family. And, you know, I love their kids, but I'd like to see my friends or my family in the picture, too. Have a family picture.
Well, that's what me and my wife do, is
yeah,
a family picture.
Yeah, sometimes good for you.
Sometimes we're in costume, and sometimes we're, you know, we're just dressed up or whatever.
Yeah.
It varies.
But so often you get these Christmas cards. Well, that's a good idea, David. You know, thanks for the call. So often we get these cards and they're just of the kids. And then on the bottom it says, you know, from the Smith family. But the picture doesn't show the Smith family. Let me see the Smith family. Let me see mom and dad. Because most likely those are the people that I know. That's who either sent it to me. I know people are proud of their children. I understand that. But get in the picture with them. Then I was told by some people, especially if it's a newborn baby, some of the women might not want to be in the picture because they haven't lost the baby weight. I said, tell me in this day and age of everybody taking pictures and selfies that there's not one family photo that you took on vacation or on a holiday or just in the yard somewhere that you don't like that the whole family could be in? I mean, if you're worried about how you look, if you're a little heavy or something and you're on vacation, you know, go behind a national monument then. Go hide behind the Washington Monument and stick your head around the corner. I want to see your face too. I love your kids and I'm glad you're proud of them. But I want to see you too. You're part of the family. So if you do a Christmas card next year with a picture, just don't show your kids. Put yourself in there. You deserve to be on there too. Carrie, how you doing?
Good, Jim. How you doing? Great show.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
I love your idea about doing it right now. My wife just started sending out Christmas cards this year for the first time, pretty much forever. But my mom passed away this year, but they started working on a project where they were going to make their own cards and craft and stuff. And
right.
My mom passed away before they could do it together. But my wife says, well, we got all stuff and your mom would have liked this. So she did it. And the cards turned out great. But you're right. You know, this time of year, January slows down because everybody ramps up for December and then there's this lull. So I'm
exactly.
Hey, get them all ready and get them ready to go.
I mean, your core.
You can make more. You can take a couple out. But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would think, and some people may move. And so that's why I say don't put a stamp on them. Because then you would lose the stamp, even though if you wanted to. I mean, if you buy a forever stamp, it's good forever, right? So what's the difference? But, you know, you might have to change an address, so you might lose an envelope, but don't lose the 40 or 50-cent stamp. But, you know, why go through that? Because it does become this race against the clock. And then, once again, these are some things that, in theory, are supposed to be nice and fun activities. You're sending this card to your friends. But then if you wait or procrastinate too much, it becomes a chore. And you're losing the fun of it.
No, I agree. And you can even, like, you know, for the people that are really close to you, then you write a more detailed inscription. But for the people you just want to reach out and say hi to, you just say, hey, happy holidays. Hope you have a great year. Blah, blah. I hope you had a great year. Blah, blah, blah. And then, hey, if something happens or they move,
right.
Well, then you pull it out and send it to somebody else. But
exactly.
Close relatives and stuff. Then you write the detailed description. I think it's a great idea.
Well, there you go. I'm thinking of because, like I said, my wife told me that she already, once we went past the half quota, when we got to 37, she went online and found some cards that were, you know, half off because now the Christmas is over. And she said, our cards are already on the way. And I said, okay. And I said, what about we do it this way? And so we may do that. I thought I would throw it out to the audience. So I'm glad you like the idea, and feel free to take it on.
We will.
All right. Very good. Thanks for calling, Gary. Jim Toronto here at WGN, filling in for Nick DiGilio today. Started at 2. We'll be on for another 6 or 7 minutes or so as we take it to 5. We'll then be passing it off to David Plyer and the opening bell, and then he'll be passing it off to Pete McMurray, who is filling in for Steve Cochran this week. Let's go back to the phones. And here is Robert. How you doing, Robert?
Hey, good morning. So I hear you have a slight situation on your hands.
I have a Christmas card dilemma, Robert.
Well, my folks started this one. My wife and I picked up on it, and we kind of refined it a little bit. But it's very simple. You start out sending cards, which my wife and I did. We sent them out to what we considered the immediate world.
Your core.
Right, that too. Friends, neighbors, you name it. Then my folks informed us that, well, it's very simple. I started complaining about, well, we didn't get back from so-and-so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm spending all this money on stamps. How about a little bit, you know, for the effort?
Well, here's the thing. The following year, my folks said, well, this is what we do. We send the cards out. Those who do not respond don't get a card back the following year. Only those cards that we receive do we send to those people who sent us cards.
Yeah, no,
it's just that simple.
Yeah, no, that's a good way of doing it, and I did think of that. But then I heard from another friend, and they don't send cards out, but they said, we really like to get cards from you.
Right.
So they don't. They wouldn't fall in that category then, because they don't send cards out.
Yes, they do. They don't send cards out. They don't spend the money to send the cards out. Look, and here's another thing. We always purchased our cards immediately after Christmas.
Right, that's
for
my
simple reason that we get the best price for the cards. And some very nice cards as well.
Oh yeah, ours are already on the way. Yeah, my wife already ordered ours for next year.
I don't order them.
Yeah, I was
No. As a matter of fact, I've got a dollar store about 1,500 feet away from my home or so. I walk over there. I buy them out of the dollar store. You say, I get some very beautiful cards out of the dollar store for next to nothing.
Yeah, no.
But the thing is, and even my wife started doing that before she passed away. And I said, why are you going over there? I says, well, yeah, she says, because they're just as nice as the ones we've been getting.
Right.
And she was correct.
Yeah.
Beautiful cards. But more importantly, it's those people who send us cards that we send cards to. And every once in a while, we'll send out a couple extras to see if those people respond the following year.
Right. Yeah.
So like 2 years down the road, we may send out several cards to people who we had didn't send the previous year. And if they respond, then they're back on the list for the following year.
There you go. Nice. That's not a bad way to look at it. Thanks for the call, Robert. Patty, what are you up to?
Hi, how are you? Well, first of all, I've got a couple comments. I totally agree with the man that just called, except I can't in my heart do that yet, and I really wish I could. And I sent out about exactly the same amount of cards you did and got about exactly the same amount back.
Really?
I do back-to-back cards with pictures and captions. So each letter of mine with a stamp and each sheet costs $1.50.
Wow.
Two and a quarter. And also, I can't stand emailing. If somebody emails me, that's impersonal, and I won't respond back.
Right.
And also, what you made the comment about the kids, I agree, and they're not even in order. But I've got kind of either a funny story or a pathetic story where not everybody can get their cards out ahead of time like you want to do and put the return address on it, because I won't say where, a northern suburb, and the week of Christmas, I was in a store, and a man came in talking on his cell phone, and he was telling this person that he had just gotten his Christmas cards out, and I think he said he was pretty sad about it or whatever, because his family was going to be there. They were going to hear about it first through his Christmas card that he had just gotten divorced.
Oh, geez.
And he was using his return address, return address on the envelope. So, like, happy holidays, I thought to you, you know?
Oh, my God.
Merry Christmas. Yeah. First time they're going to know about it. Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, Patty. Wow. Well, someone sent me a text that said, what if you or your wife pass away and you've already done these cards? I was like, wow. I'm trying to be a little more optimistic than that. I'm hoping that we'll both be around at least a few more years. But we'll see if we do the cards this year or not. We're certainly going to have them. They're on their way already. But whether we fill them out and address them and write a little messages in them, we'll see. But anyway, it's about 4:57. Are we going to talk to Dave?
We could talk to Dave.
Can we?
It'd be fun.
Is he there?
He is there.
Oh, there you are. Again,
good morning.
Once again, you scare me because we have this, we have a monitor here where we can see all the other rooms, like upstairs in the newsroom and, Esmeralda and the traffic room and things like that. But you're doing the opening bell from this Studio B upstairs, which does not have a camera. So you, in my mind, are just for all I know, you're my conscience.
I'm actually in the restroom.
Yeah, well, I think you're my conscience. You're telling me these things. You know, you're just just one of the few or one of the several voices in my head.
See, there you go. There you go. By the way, this whole Christmas card thing, I have to tell you, I did the same thing for years as I just did them with pictures of the kids. And I thought to myself, who in the hell wants to see me? Like, why do they want to see you? No, totally true. So now what we do is we have the kids pose for a shot, like for the front of the cart, and then we pick a family event during the year. This year was a Cubs game that we were on the field or whatever, and so that they could see us all kind of in, because otherwise the posed pictures, that's just kind of too much. So we do something that's just
fun. Well, very good. Yeah, I mean, today. We all take pictures everywhere we go.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that you don't have one family photo from some event that you went to that everybody is happy with and says they all look good and they're happy with that picture. And you put that on your card. I have nothing even, you know, some cards, like you're saying, even have room for two different pictures.
Right, exactly. But you know what, though? Everybody is friends with everybody on Facebook. You know, there are some people and some older people that we send holiday cards to, Christmas cards to, every single year that I guess aren't on Facebook. But you're pretty much showing what right. your family is doing throughout the whole year. So, you know, I just think it's more of a traditional thing to get a card in the mail, and it's something special. And it's something
no,
you
so
can
do
touch
I. I mean,
and feel, right?
I do too. I mean, I enjoy writing them, and I enjoy getting them, and I enjoy putting a little message on them. But you know, at sometimes you know, the Scrooge in me says, "Hey, I'm buying you know 70 stamps here.
Yeah,
the least I could do is get 70 cards back.
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you."